Amen. Good morning, everybody. You're all very welcome this morning to the house. It's great to have you all here. Do we have anyone new in the house for the first time? You're very welcome. Great to have you here. Amen. Amen. We've started off a new series called That's Life. So I'm not going to sing it. I'm not even going to try and sing it. But you know, last week we kicked it off about that's life, you know, about how God can transform us. And I'm going to continue on this week, you know, about physical health. Last week we covered off spiritual health. And there were 7 habits with regards to spiritual health. Can anybody remember what they were? Now here's the challenge. No? Okay. Well, the first one was about choosing Jesus and loving him supremely. And then about spending time with him daily, about reading the word of God and getting to know this God that we serve. And about tithing faithfully. And the fifth one was then that I'm going to love other believers and commit to my church and small group. The sixth one was that I'm going to serve others with whatever gift and abilities I have been given. And I'm not going to live for me. I'm going to live for others. And then the last one then is I'm going to pass on to others whatever I've learned about being a Jesus follower. And I'm going to share the good news. So they were the 7 habits or the 7 truths that we covered off last week in spiritual health. And this week I'm going to cover off physical health. You know, and you know, God is very interested in our bodies, our soul, and our mind. You know, and he wants to bless us in every area of that. And it talks about it in John 3. And it says in, 3 John 1-2. It says, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Now, you know, when we talk about physical health, we know this stuff, don't we? Yeah? We know that we need to diet. We know that we need to eat well, that we need to eat proper. We know that we need to have plenty of exercise. When we do this, we know that we need to have proper amounts of sleep. And you see, all of those things, they contribute to lower stress levels. But this morning, what I want to focus on is the motivation of how we become physically healthy. So how we become, as believers, physically healthy. You see, God wants us to take care of our bodies. This body that we walk around in 24/7, God actually wants us to take care of it. You know, this body that we live in, you know, this doesn't belong to us. But you see, Jesus lives in this body. And you see, his word says that he lives in us. He works through us. And anything that God is going to do through your life, he's going to do it through your actual physical body. But you see, sometimes the problem with Christians is that they don't take care of our bodies. And sometimes I'm guilty of that. And we get an understanding of what God wants to do with our lives, but we don't have the energy, we don't have the stamina, we don't have the time, because we're actually physically out of shape. And we can't do physical things that God wants us to do. So if we're unhealthy as Christians and we're out of energy and we're out of stamina, then there's a lot that God cannot do through us. Would you agree with that this morning? Would you agree that God cannot do things through us if we're not physically healthy? So, Father, this morning, Lord God, I come, Father, before you. And, Lord, I ask that you open every heart this morning, Father. Father, that you would just begin to drop nuggets into people's spirits, Lord God. Father, we come against every distraction in the house, Lord God. And, Father, we ask, Father, that you would unblock our ears, unblock our hearts this morning, Father, to hear what you want to say, Father. This is your word, Father. Your word, Father God. And Father, I'm just going to move aside and Holy Spirit, come and begin to minister and outpour upon your people this morning. You see, it's important for us to recognize our physical bondage, but it's also important to know how we as Christians can achieve freedom. And you know, Paul, he addressed the Corinthian church, and it was in 1 Corinthians, and you know what? Paul just lay on the line. He just, you know what? It was black and white. This was the way this guy was. He didn't pull any punches with the Corinthian church. And this is what he says. It says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You see, Paul was telling the Corinthians that he is not going to be mastered, dominated, or controlled by anything that is not beneficial or helpful for his life. He's not going to let food, drink, sex, or anything dominate or control his life. But the Christians in Corinth, you see, what they believed was that Jesus had taken away their sins, that their sin didn't exist, and they felt complete freedom to live and to do whatever they wished. But they allowed themselves to be dominated and mastered by food and by drink and by sex and so on. You see, what happened with the Corinthian church was they blended in with the world. They accepted the world's values. And as a result of this, their marriages, their personal lives, their spiritual lives, they were in a shambles. And you see, the habits and temptations they were allowing themselves to be dominated and mastered by became their God. It became their God in their life. So you see, what Paul was basically saying was that we should not be controlled or dominated or addicted to anything of this world. Yes, Jesus died on the cross for us. Yes, he resurrected. Yes, he took all of our sins on the cross. And yes, he gave us freedom. But some of our actions we take may hurt others. And you know, I knew of a guy, he was walking with the Lord about 20 years. He was married. And this guy struggled with temptation in his life, and he struggled with lust. And one night he rang one of the church leaders at 12 o'clock at night. And he said to the church leader, he said, I'm actually really struggling with this temptation and with this lust in my life right now. And the church leader could hear background noises. And he said to him, where are you? And he said, I'm in a nightclub. So the church leader said to him, well, they were there. You see, this guy put himself in the firing line. He put himself in the firing line of temptation. And you know, sometimes when we put ourselves in the firing line, there's consequences for our sin. You see, this guy allowed himself to be dominated and controlled and mastered by the temptation of lust. And what happened was he ended up being far removed from God. He moved far away from God. Not that God moved away from him, but he actually moved far away from God. But you know, Paul, you know, he didn't pull any punches. You know, he begins to go on and he goes on and he talks about, in the next portion of the scripture, in verse 13, he begins to talk about the Greeks. And he begins to share, you know, that the Greeks had no limitations when it came to their appetites or when it came to physical pleasures. And their attitude was, ah, sure, we might as well eat and we might as well drink and we might as well be merry. And that can be the attitude of us today. Ah, sure, we only live once. So we might as well. But the reality is, our bodies are not going to last forever. You see, the scripture says, you say food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. We can't just eat and drink and indulge in whatever we please. Our bodies are not designed for physical pleasure or for binging and for drunkenness. You know, when we look out into this world, you know, we can see the harm that comes on our youth and comes on especially girls when they want to look a certain way and they want to, you know, fit in to society in a certain way. And they think by being a size 6, that's the right way. But there's a program on the telly and it's called The Biggest Losers. Have you ever seen it? And you know, this program, it tackles obesity. And these people that go on this program, they're really struggling with obesity. Their health is on the line. Their lives are on the line. So what they do is they sign up to this program. They become contestants on it. Because they want to change the way they look. They want to change the way they feel. They want to change their lifestyle. So they end up being put through this grueling challenge. They have these trainers and they have a strict regime. They have a specific diet and it's a challenge for them and it's painful. But you know, at the end of it, the goal for these people is they conquer obesity. And they end up becoming a difference maker because they follow the discipline of the program. You know, freedom from temptation of our sin is a mark for us to become a difference maker in the Christian faith. And yes, it's going to take discipline. And yes, it's going to take self-control. But you know, physical health, as I said, is a spiritual discipline. And we must be willing to commit to allowing the Holy Spirit challenge us in certain areas of temptation. In certain areas where we need to be set free from its bondage. And Paul warns us that Christians should not abuse this freedom and hurt themselves and others. You see, drinking too much wine or drinking too much alcohol can lead to alcoholism. And we know this. We know this can destroy families and destroy lives. We know eating too much, gluttony as we know it of, leads to unhealthy bodies. You know, we're putting our bodies at risk, you know, where it can cause a stroke or a heart attack or, you know, high blood pressure. We know all this stuff. You see, Paul says, God will destroy them both. He says that our stomachs and stuff we consume are both God's. He made them. He will do what he wants with them. So we need to align ourselves to his plan regarding how we satisfy our hunger. What God has allowed us to enjoy, we have to be careful. We have to be careful that it doesn't grow into a bad habit that controls us. But you know what? Habits can be good and habits can be harmful. When we have a good habit, like arriving at work on time, or being optimistic, or we create a positive attitude, this can motivate us to focus on good living. Amen? But the same is true when we have bad habits. When we engage in behaviors without much thought, they can damage our personal lives, our spiritual lives, and our physical growth in God. You know, being late for work or church practice or worship practice or a church meeting, this can be a bad habit. You know, thinking negatively or speaking negatively or gossiping or, you know, this can be a bad habit. You know, wanting to be the center of attention or the focus person, you know, in a group or a church setting or a work setting, this can be a bad habit. You see, the habits that we form can stop our growth in God. But Jesus offers a solution. And he says that when we share our habit with someone, we can actually produce accountability. So if I'm struggling with something, and I come along and I say, Vicky, I need to tell you what I'm struggling with. I'm actually being accountable to Vicky. And I know that Vicky will have my back. And I know that Vicky will come alongside me and say, Louise, I see that you're slipping back into that area where you're being tempted. You see, having someone come alongside us and be accountable to someone means that they have the right to speak into our lives. You know, having your friends or a group of friends, they're going to tell you, yeah, it's okay, go ahead, you'll be all right. But having someone that can speak directly and challenge you and say, you're slipping back into that place. God wouldn't want that for you. And you know, as Christians, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to live right. You see, God wants to bless us. God wants to bless our lives. Do we believe that this morning? But God will also challenge us in our walk. When there's an area of temptation or an area that forms a habit, God will just press that button and say, I want that. I want you to give me that area of your life. You know, Paul goes on and he talks about sexual immorality. And he goes on and he makes it clear that our bodies are not to be used for sexual immorality. Our bodies are not meant for satisfying our appetites for physical pleasure. But as we know, sexual immorality is a temptation. It's all around us, sexual immorality. It's on the TV. It's in a movie. Sex outside of any relationship nowadays, it's treated as normal. And yes, God created us as people with an appetite for experiencing physical intimacy. He's a loving God. Yes, he wants us to have that. But when we let the power of physical pleasure dominate us, master us, control us, we end up having to resort to methods of pleasure outside of God's plan and purpose for us. You see, Paul was clear that our bodies were not to be used for sexual immorality. And I'm just going to show you some truths about what God says. And there's 6 truths that we're going to cover off. Last week, we covered off the truths of our spiritual health. And this week, we're going to cover off the truths of our actual physical health. And the first one is, my body is God's property. My body is God's property. You see, this body that I have is only on loan to me. But you know what? Our culture has told us time and time again, hey, it's your body. You have the right to do whatever you like with it. You have the right to mess up your body. And you can just go ahead and mess up your own body. No, no, no. God says, nope. It's not your body. I only loaned it to you. You see, our bodies aren't ours because we didn't make them. We came into this world with nothing. We came in with nothing and we're going to leave with nothing. And everything that we have is on loan to us. It says in Psalm 139 that you created every part of me. You put me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Now that's the good news, because everything that God makes has a purpose. Everything that God has made about you has a purpose. God has never made anything without a purpose. God never made any person without a purpose. The second point that God says is that God expects me to manage my body. You see, we're not the owners of this body, but I am the manager. And I will stand before God one day and I will give an evaluation of this body. You see, I'm responsible to take care of it. I'm responsible for its well-being. And you know, Paul brought out in verse 12, he said it, that he's not going to let anything dominate him. He's not going to let anything become a god in his life, whether it's food, drink, sex, whatever that is, he's not going to let it dominate him. He's not going to become, and it's not going to become an addiction. You see, we will be held accountable for how well we manage them. And we can't blame anybody else. The third point is, my body will be resurrected after I die. There's the good news. The good news is, our bodies will be resurrected after we die. We're going to get a full body makeover. How about that? A full body makeover. So your nip and your tuck and all of that you wanted, you're going to get it when your body is resurrected. You see, the Bible teaches us that our bodies will be resurrected. You see, our bodies right now are under the curse. They're under the fall of humanity. And yes, we will experience sickness and other ailments that come at us. But God keeps promise. And he promised that he would resurrect and give us a new glorified body. That we would have a new body where we will enjoy eternity with him. Some people think, you know, that we're going to be, you know, floating up in the heavens, just floating around. That we're going to have wings and a halo. And we're going to be playing a harp, lying on a cloud. But that's not the reality. You see, God says in his word, we're going to have a new body that will be similar to Jesus' resurrected body. Because we will see him. And he is in all his resurrected glory. We're going to see Jesus in all his resurrected glory. The fourth point is, my body is connected to the body of Christ. As Christians, we are the eyes, the hands, and the feet of Jesus. We are the ones. And that's why God cares about how we treat our bodies. Because it's connected to all the other members of his body. You see, if your body is unhealthy, it makes part of Christ's body weaker. And you know, Jason alluded to it earlier on about the cogs. You know, about different cogs, that we all play a different part in the kingdom of God. And these cogs, they all begin to move. And that's the same with the body of Christ. We all have a part to play. But when one of us is weak, or when one of us is tempted or struggling with an area, it weakens the body of Christ. You see, Jesus gave his body for you and me. And he wants us to honor him with our bodies. And it's not about vanity. It's not about being the best bodybuilder or becoming a fashion model. It's simply about making the most of what God has given you and representing him well. Number five is, the Holy Spirit lives in my body. The Holy Spirit lives in my body. God has taken up residence in us. And it talks in the Old Testament, you know, that God was in the temple. That's where his presence dwelt. But now he resides in us. In each one of us here this morning, God resides in us. And do we believe that? Do we believe that God resides in us? You see, if we were to walk down the street, or let's say we were to walk down and we seen somebody coming in here and vandalizing and trashing this place, this house where we come on a Sunday, where we come and we worship and we fellowship and we meet with God. Imagine coming, pulling up on a Sunday morning and seeing the place being graffitied all over the place. The place being trashed to bits. People are at the throne, rocks through the window. How would you feel about it? How would you feel if you saw that this house was after being vandalized? You would probably get mad. You would probably want to go after the little couriers. Yeah? You know, to get them in a headlock and to love them. But you know what? You would probably get mad that somebody intruded and somebody came in here and vandalized this house. It's the same for us. God wants us to stop trashing and vandalizing our bodies. Every time we put junk food in, every time we abuse our bodies with an inner self-loathing, with an inner self-indulgence, every time we have sexual relationships outside of the will of God, and we misuse and we abuse, we're not taking care of God's temple. God does not want our bodies to be trashed. He does not want our bodies to be misused. And here's the last point. It says that Jesus bought my body on the cross. And it's in verse 20, and it says, if we have trusted Christ, with our eternal lives, we are not our own. We have been bought with price. We have been bought with a price here this morning. The price that Christ's precious blood of being poured out unto death on our behalf. We've been bought with a price this morning. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. We have been bought with a price. Therefore, God will say, honor your body. He doesn't say, honor your spirit. But the word of God says, honor your body. Because God has bought you here this morning. You know, Paul addressed the church. And it says it in Romans 12. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You know, giving ourselves to God is an act of worship. Daily dying to ourselves is an act of worship. This is what worship is. I'm just going to be finishing up. In John 5, it talks about Jesus meets a man who had been sick for 38 years. And Jesus walked up to this guy and he asked him, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? And this morning, I want to ask you, do you want to get well? Do you want to be a difference maker in this land? For 4 decades, this guy had been sick. And Jesus asked him if he wanted to get well. You see, this man's problems had become a way of life. No one had ever helped him. This man lay at a pool for 38 years. He would lay there waiting on someone to come along and to put him into the pool. This was a place where people would go that had ailments, that were lame, that couldn't walk, that were blind. And this man lay there for 38 years. Imagine, 4 decades, waiting to be healed, waiting for someone to come along to help him. And Jesus, seeing this man, and this is the God that we serve, a God that has compassion on us. He seen him, and he asked him, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? And I'm sure the man says, really? Me? But you know what? This man did get well because Jesus said, pick up your mat and walk. And God is saying the same this morning. Pick up your mat and walk. Whatever temptation, whatever sin, whatever lust, whatever it is, whatever name you want to put on it, God can set you free from the bondage of it. God can break open his spirit into your life and set you free this morning. You see, the physical health is all about us looking after the body and us dying daily to ourselves and surrendering to God. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And you know, this morning, if this word has spoken to you, we're going to open up the front and there will people will be here and they will pray with you. But if it has spoken to you, I'm going to ask you to stand where you are. Just stand right now. Don't get distracted. Don't let anybody influence you. Just stand right now where you are. Just stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well this morning? Do you want to pick up your mat? As Jesus said, pick up your mat and walk. Whatever you need to surrender to, if it's gossip, if it's sexual immorality, whatever it is, you have the name for it. I want to invite you to come now to the front and to lay it down before the feet of God this morning at the cross. It's between you and God. So step out and come. The worship team are going to go into that song. You see, God is here this morning. He's the God of the miraculous. And he's a God that wants to touch your life. And when you surrender that thing, when you name it and claim it, God is going to take it. God is going to take it. So Father, this morning, Lord God, Father, your people stand before you, Lord God. And Father, I ask that you pour out your Spirit upon them, Lord God. Father, pour out your Spirit, Lord God. Father, break open, Father God. Father, the temptations that arise up in them, Lord God. Father, break it open, Father God, this morning. And Father, will you come in, Lord God, and be the comforter, Lord? Will you come in, Father God, and take this sin? Father, will you take this temptation, Lord God? Father, will you take it, Lord God? Father, will you take it? Father, when you went to the cross, you said, it is finished. And Father, this morning, Lord God, I declare that it is finished over your people, Lord God. That it is finished, Lord God. Father, we worship you this morning. Father, we worship you. Father, we just ask this morning, Lord God, for the rest of us here, Lord, this morning, that, Father, that we would be accountable, Lord God, to our physical body, Lord God. Father, that we would be accountable, Father God, that no other gods, Father, would rise up within us, Lord God. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord.